Broadcasting presents a Columbia Pictures presentation in association with Original Film and Newmarket Capital Group of a Neil H. Moritz production, a Roger Cumble film starring Ryan Philippe, Sarah Michelle Gellar and Reese Witherspoon in Cruel Intentions. Suggested by the novel Les Liaisons Dangereuses by Chaudelot de Laclos, the story centers on two rich teenagers and their manipulations of each other and those around them in pursuing a wager for a young girl's virginity. Speeding below, the headstones, tended lawns and cropped trees of a huge cemetery on the outskirts of New York rush past in a blur. A young man wearing dark clothes and sunglasses drives an old-fashioned convertible sports car along a freeway in the hazy light of summer. Beside him in the passenger seat lies an old, leather-bound journal tied with a cord. The young man's face is reflected in the rearview mirror, his eyes hidden by the sunglasses, but his face is sullenly arrogant. His short-cropped, light-brown hair flickers in the wind as he stares ahead to the sharp points and imposing buildings of New York's skyline across the bay. The young man, his sunglasses removed, lies on his back on a therapist's couch in a plush, glass-walled office. A bored therapist watches him.
Sebastian, let's try and focus.
What can I possibly say? I'm a fool.
You're not a fool.
Yes, I am. I can't feel sorry for myself because I'm some poor little rich boy.
It's not your fault. Adolescence is a difficult time, and without great parenting, things can go awry. But you have to rise above their mistakes. Here.
Autographed copy. Can I keep this?
It's yours. You have to stop being so hard on yourself. What's in the past is over.
You're right. You know, It's hard to believe that there was once a period in my life when the only thing I could think about was sex.
No, it's no way to go through life.
I know. I mean, take yourself, for example. You're a very attractive woman. You have killer legs. I'd love to photograph them. That was the old me. I'm cured now.
I'm so proud of you.
Same time next week?
Oh, didn't I tell you? I'm going on my book tour. I'll be back in a month.
Why?
Because other people need my help, too. You're gonna do just fine.
I hope so.
If you need anything at all, don't hesitate to call my service.
I could use a hug.
All righty. There you go. Yes.
Your daughter on one.
Tell her to hold.
This her?
That's my Marcy.
She seems nice.
She's great. Straight A student. Exceptionally rounded young woman. She's attending Princeton this fall.
Wow. Now this is exactly the type of girl I should be with.
She's a little out of your league. No offense.
Oh, well.
So, take good care of yourself, Sebastian.
Thank you for everything.
Schmuck. Yes?
Your daughter's still holding.
Hi, honey.
You kept me on hold.
I'm sorry. Is something wrong?
He told me he loved me. And I believed him. I'm so stupid.
Now, darling, it's all right. Just calm down, take a deep breath, step out of the circle.
Oh, would you cut your psychobabble bullshit, Mom? There's pictures of me on the internet.
What kind of pictures?
Nudie pictures. What do you think?
Slut.
Christ! How could you be so stupid?
He was just so charming. And all he did was say how it had killer legs and how he wanted to photograph them. And things just got completely out of hand.
You are a slut.
Mom, are you there?
Sebastian walks through the lobby and drops the book in a rubbish bin.
Sebastian! Sebastian! You're gonna pay for this, you little shit! You hear me? You sicko, pervert!
What's her problem?
Looks like somebody's in need of some therapy.
Sebastian! You're not gonna get away with this, you know! Get away from me!
So what's your name?
Clarissa.
Clarissa, God, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm gonna take you to lunch.
Okay.
Sebastian drives his antique convertible down a main boulevard and suddenly swings across the traffic in a U-turn to park in front of a huge stone residence. Calmly getting out of the car, he picks up his journal and walks into the building.
There's no parking, sir. You can't park, sir. You can't.
Arrogantly waving his hand as if brushing away the complaint, he walks through the glass doors. In an upstairs apartment, a Chinese maid carries a tray of drinks into a richly decorated room.
I can't tell you how happy we are that Cecile will be attending Manchester with you this fall. You've always been an inspiration to Beau and I in raising her. We just hope she can rise to the high standards which you've set for her.
I'll do my best. Come on, Miley.
What was that?
I was thanking her. Vietnamese is really a beautiful language, don't you think?
Catherine is one of the most popular girls at school. Listen to whatever she has to say and you'll go far. How do you do it? Where do you get your strength?
Well, I know this sounds corny, but whenever I feel the temptation of peer pressure, I turn to God and he helps me through the problem.
Oh, that's beautiful. What are the boys like?
Ow! Cecile, is that all you can think of? You must forgive her, Catherine. She's never been in a co-educational atmosphere before.
Oh, it's perfectly understandable. Most of the boys that matriculate at Manchester are very upstanding gentlemen. However, there are the occasional few bad apples.
Like your stepbrother, Sebastian. I can't believe they didn't expel him after what he did to the school nurse.
I hear she's recovering quite well. Nice to see you again, Mrs. Caldwell.
Do you remember my daughter, Cecile?
My, what an adorable shirt you're wearing.
Thanks, my father took me on a trip to Australia.
How are things down under? Blossoming, I hope.
Sebastian!
He peers between Cecile's legs and Mrs. Caldwell quickly pushes them together.
Well, I think we'll be going now. Thank you so much for your help.
Cecile, I'll call you and we can plan your curriculum.
Okay, thanks. It was nice meeting you.
Mwah! Ciao.
Let's go, Cecile, now. Keep your legs together. This isn't Jamaica.
I didn't know it was asshole day at the Valmont house.
Just taking the poor girl under my wing.
She undoes her crucifix and raises one end covered in white powder to her nose.
Parental units called while you were out.
Lovely. How is your gold-digging whore of a mother enjoying Bali?
She suspects that your impotent, alcoholic father is diddling the maid.
Good.
What's wrong with you today? Therapy not going well?
It was fine. Clarissa.
Call me.
I'm sick of sleeping with these insipid Manhattan debutantes. Nothing shocks them anymore.
Well, you can relax. I have a mission for you.
What?
You remember Court Reynolds, son of Garrett Reynolds?
Oh, you mean the Nazi who dumped you over 4th of July weekend?
I went to great lengths to please Court. Huge sacrifices were made on my part to keep him happy.
Sorry.
In any event, my feelings were hurt when I'd learned that Court had fallen for someone else.
You don't mean...
None other than Cecile Caldwell.
So that's what this is all about.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. When I get through with Cecile, she'll be the premier tramp of the New York area. And poor Court's new little princess will be damaged goods.
Why go through Cecile? Why not just attack Court?
Because if there's an attack made on Court, it could be traced back to me. And I can't allow that to happen. Everybody loves me. And I intend to keep it that way.
I see your point. Why should I care?
Because I need you to seduce our young Cecile. She's quite cute, you know. Young, supple breasts, a tight, firm ass, uncharted booty. Be her Captain Picard, Felmont. Boldly go. Where no man has gone before.
I can't.
Why not?
Oh, come on, Catherine. It's too easy. Go get one of those moron friends of yours to do it. I have a reputation to uphold.
Oh, but diddling the therapist's daughter's a challenge.
She was overcharging. This is a challenge.
I know how to alleviate menstrual cramps, thank you very much.
Shut up and turn to page 64.
Why, I Plan to Wait by Annette Hargrove, Kansas City, Kansas. Jesus Christ, is she for real?
No, she's Daddy's little angel. Paradigm of chastity and virtue. Let's see. Boring, boring, boring.
I love my parents.
Boring, boring, boring.
Making a mature decision.
Here! She has a boyfriend named Trevor. Going out for a year. Trevor understands.
Trevor's a fag. Too bad for you, she lives in Kansas.
Au contraire. The virgin's father has accepted the new headmaster position at our school. She's staying with my aunt on the island while her parents sell their house. Can you imagine what this will do for my reputation? Screwing the new headmaster's daughter before school starts. She'll be my greatest victory.
You don't stand a chance. Even this is out of your league.
Care to make a wager on that?
I'll think about it.
Oh, well. Duty calls. Dr. Greenbaum and her daughter should make for an exciting entry.
Oh, gee, your journal. Could you be more queer?
Could you be more desperate to read it?
Oh, Sebastian. Could you come here for a second? About that little wager of yours. Count me in.
What are the terms?
If I win, then that hot little car of yours is mine.
And if I win?
I'll give you something you've been obsessing about ever since our parents got married.
Be more specific.
In English? I'll fuck your brains out.
What makes you think I'd go for that bet? That's a 1956 Jaguar Roadster.
Because I'm the only person you can't have and it kills you.
No way.
You can put it anywhere.
You got yourself a bet, baby.
Happy hunting, Sebastian.
Sebastian drives up a long avenue to a huge country house as a woman and a girl are led on horseback along a tree-lined lawn.
Your home is so beautiful, Mrs. Rosemond.
Oh, thank you, Annette. It's been in my family for over 100 years. Does your family ride much?
My grandpa actually used to breed horses on his farm.
Really?
What was that?
Oh, Sebastian must be home.
Paul!
Sebastian!
Fuck me. Anne Helen!
Sweet pea!
God, I've missed you! I've been looking all over for you!
I missed you, too. I want you to meet Annette. Annette Hargrove, this is Sebastian.
Well, well.
Hello.
She'll be staying with me for a few weeks.
I guess that makes two of us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anne Helen?
Mm-hmm?
Why don't you head in and whip us up some of that iced tea of yours? I'll tend to Annette.
All right. You two don't get into any trouble.
We won't.
Come on.
He grabs Annette's hand and leads her across the lawn.
Quickly. Lots to see.
The red brick country mansion is covered in well-tended ivy, and topiaries flank a large stone staircase leading to the house.
I read your manifesto.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I must say, I found it rather appalling.
That's a first. Most people praise me for it.
Most people are sheep. Who are you to criticize something you've never experienced?
I wasn't criticizing anything. Just my belief that people shouldn't experience the act of love until they are in love. And I just don't think people our age are mature enough to experience those kind of emotions.
Are you a lesbian?
No.
I didn't mean to offend you. I just picked up on a little bit of that lesbian vibe.
Look, I wouldn't expect a man of your experience to understand my beliefs.
What's that supposed to mean?
I've been very well informed of your reputation.
What have you heard?
Do you promise girls the world to get them in bed with you?
Who told you this?
A friend wrote me.
That's a little tacky.
Why do you sound so surprised? It's the truth, isn't it?
If you say so.
As he walks away, a shadow of confusion falls across her face and she shakes her head in bemusement.
That's good. Okay, now let's try the G major scale. Once again, and remember, the third note is sharp.
I suck!
Relax, okay? Take a deep breath. You're concentrating too much on your bowing. Just let it flow. Here, let me help you. Now close your eyes.
Unnoticed, Catherine watches from the doorway as Cecile and her music teacher move sensually together. Catherine pushes a box off a shelf.
Maylee, be careful! We've had this discussion. My apologies, I didn't mean to interrupt. Your playing was beautiful.
Catherine, this is Ronald Clifford. He'll be giving me music lessons over the summer.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Ronald is attending pre-Juilliard. He's composing his first opera.
It's based on the life of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Dr. King is my favorite.
Well, I guess our hour's up. Same time tomorrow?
He hands Cecile her bow and she looks up at him shyly.
Unbelievable. Some fag, no offense.
None taken.
Wrote a letter to this chick describing my lascivious tactics.
Any ideas who it could be?
Blaine, if I knew who it was, that person would be in a momentous amount of pain.
Where did the little girl say she was from?
Kansas. Who the hell do I know in Kansas?
Greg McConnell.
The football stud?
Mm-hmm. He's from Kansas City. I wouldn't be surprised if he was your rat.
It would make sense. McConnell hates me. I fingered his girlfriend at homecoming last year.
I don't think that bothered him so much.
What do you mean?
Well, let's just say that Greg likes to tackle the tight ends on and off the field.
Oh, are you shitting me?
I shit you not. He used to sneak into my dorm room drunk every month. We'd go at it for a little while, and then as soon as he'd come, he'd start freaking out. Oh, what are you doing, man? I'm not a fag. If you tell anybody, I'm gonna kick your ass. God. The only reason I'm gonna let him keep up the charade is because the man's got a mouth like a Hoover. Ooh.
Shit, too bad he's in Kansas this summer.
Oh, not anymore. Football team started practice last week. He's back in the dorm. He already called me for a little pillow kissing session.
Good for you. Well, do you think you could arrange a little get together with him tonight on my behalf?
I do believe Spartacus is showing on television tonight.
Outstanding.
But don't think this one's not going to cost you.
Just make sure your front door is unlocked. Shall we say the stroke of midnight? No pun intended.
Okay. Stroke of midnight it is.
How so?
So then I take on my dick, okay, and I shove it right in her face. And I'm standing there, I'm like, what the hell is this? Grandma with the birthday present? Suck it, you dumb bitch. The Gregster!
Yes, the Gregster!
Yes! Oh, hey, Gregory?
So rumor has it that you went on a date with Court Reynolds. I hear he's very nice.
He's all right. He kept talking about this bulimic head case he dumped over the 4th of July.
Really? Bulimic head case?
Yeah. What a loser she must be.
Ow! Sorry.
Anywho, Court's invited me to the Hamptons for Labor Day weekend.
That's great.
You think so? I don't know. I guess I'm just scared.
Of what?
Duh, boys. I've never even gone to first base with a guy.
Haven't you ever practiced on one of your girlfriends?
Ew, no. That's gross.
Well, it's not gross. How else do you think girls learn? Okay, face me. Now, close your eyes and wet your lips.
Are you for real?
You want to learn or not?
I guess.
See, that wasn't so scary.
It was nothing.
Okay, let's try it again. Only this time, I'm gonna stick my tongue in your mouth. And when I do that, I want you to massage my tongue with yours. And that's what first base is.
Okay.
Eyes closed. Maybe you should try it on your friend Ronald sometime.
What are you saying?
Oh, come on, Cecile, it's obvious. He's crazy about you.
He sends me letters, you know.
Love letters. That's so romantic. Have you responded?
No.
Well, don't you like him?
I do like him. I think about him all the time. I don't know what to do if my mother found out. She would kill me.
You did hide the letters, right?
In an antique dollhouse in my room.
Okay. I want you to make copies of the letters and bring them to me.
Why?
Because if there's one thing I'm great at, it's love letters. With my help, Ronald will be eating out of the palm of your hand. Maybe we could even arrange a little get-together for the two of you at my house.
You do that for me?
Of course, silly. We're friends, right?
Best friends. Do you want to have a sleepover?
At Sebastian's aunt's house, Annette is reading in her room when the music suddenly starts. She gets up, searching for its origin, and walks into the pool room.
Excuse me.
pleasant surprise.
You aware this music is playing in every room of the house?
It's not, just yours. I thought you'd be pleased. So, what are you doing in your room?
Reading.
Anything interesting?
Yes, actually, it's quite intriguing.
For you. Something to start the new school year with.
She takes a handcrafted leather satchel from the bag he gives her.
I didn't have to do this.
You hate it, it's lame.
No, I love it. You just didn't have to do it.
Well, do you think you can pry yourself away and join me for a swim? I know it's late being 10 o'clock and all, but we are reasonably young.
Well, I suppose your proposal was only mildly insulting. So maybe I'll consider it. Give me a minute. Fucker yet?
I'm working on it.
Loser.
Blow me.
Call me later.
Okay.
Wrapped in a large white robe, Annette stands before a mirror on her dressing table. Her shoulder-length blonde hair frames her pretty pixie-like face in a golden glow. As she turns away, she's suddenly struck by an idea. Picking up a perfume bottle, she sprays her wrists and rubs them on her neck. Looking at herself in the mirror once more, her eyes twinkle with mischief and she picks up a large blue towel and heads back to the pool room.
Sebastian?
She suddenly sees him on the other side of the pool, standing naked with his back to her. Her mouth drops open in surprise as he turns around. Without bothering to cover himself, he continues drying his hair with a towel draped over his shoulders. She simply stares.
Would you mind turning around so that I could put on my bathing suit?
I'm sorry. Oh my God. So embarrassing. You know, it amazes me someone as charming as you can be so manipulative.
We're not gonna start this letter nonsense again, are we?
What was my favorite part? Oh, right. Even more treacherous than he is attractive. He has never uttered a single word without some dishonorable intention. Every woman he has successfully pursued has regretted it. Stay away from him.
You know, you could at least have the decency of telling me who's bad-mouthing me so I might have the opportunity to confront them.
Not a chance.
You're right, Shinra.
About what?
About what you said today. I've done some things I'm not proud of.
Look, I wasn't trying to give you a hard time.
No, it's okay. I mean, I look at you with all your morals and values, and you seem to be happy in your choices. I envy you. No bullshit.
Really?
Seriously. And you've got everything going for you. You're smart, you're beautiful, you're determined. You're everything I'd want in a girlfriend.
You know I'm seeing someone.
Oh, yes, the infamous Trevor. It's funny how you haven't mentioned him until now.
He's backpacking through Europe. He's great. I really miss him.
I care.
I'm sorry, but you're not my type.
Honestly?
Honestly. You're smart, you're beautiful, determined. Listing my qualities on your fingers is not going to get you anywhere with me. The best you can hope for is my friendship, and you're really walking a fine line at that.
Night, sweet pea.
Sebastian walks past a car with the number plate Greg 1 and rips off a sticker proclaiming Go For It. Letting it flutter from his fingers, he enters his friend's house and mounts the stairs.
Baby.
Baby?
Right on time.
Don't get so huffy.
Well, what do we have here? Look, Valmont, okay? It's the first time I've ever done anything like this. I was just
really drunk and blah, 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 blah.
Please don't tell anyone. This could ruin my whole career, man.
Your career? Greg, what about your family? I mean, can you imagine the humiliation your father's gonna feel when he finds out his pride and joy is a fudge packer?
I'll do anything. Let's just forget about this whole thing, okay?
No. Can't help you there. After all, it is you who's bad-mouthing me to Annette Hargrove.
Annette Hargrove? I don't know what you're talking about.
You're the only one who knows her. The truth will save you.
I never said a word to her about you. I promise.
Come to think of it, Valmont, he's probably telling you the truth. I mean, the man can barely write out a grocery list, let alone a letter. What was I thinking?
All right. I believe you. Your secret's safe with me. Actually, there is something you can do for me.
So what else do you know about Sebastian?
Well, he's smart as hell, you know? He's really dedicated to achieving his goals. Always gives 110%. He's always watching my back. He's got a bad rep, you know, but it's mostly bullshit.
I don't know, Greg. I've just been hearing some really awful things about him.
Oh, yeah? From who?
I can't really say. I'm sworn to secrecy.
Annette, how long have we known each other?
Forever.
Exactly. Now, it's my job to look out for you, right? You're like a sister to me. Besides, do I look like some kind of gossip queen to you? Huh? It's me, Greg, the Gregster. Serious.
Okay, you promise not to tell anybody?
Annette, I swear to you on my mama's life.
That nosy bitch, are you sure?
Positive, man. She said, Mrs. Caldwell. They met at orientation, right?
Okay, next. Did you do everything I asked you to do?
Yeah.
You think she bought it?
Well, I'm pretty sure she bought it.
No, pretty sure or sure, sure.
She bought it.
She completely tried to outdo me with this one-handed cartwheel, which is so stupid because I told her for a long time, for like 2 weeks, that I could do this. And then I could do it for a really long time, and my best friends Sue and Kelly and Francis, and I could do it for so long. You see, then...
Wow. You okay?
Yeah.
You would not believe what I found out.
Shit. It's my mom. Gotta go.
I should get going, too.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Goodbye.
Peace out.
Peace out, moron. Okay, what's wrong with you?
Are you ready for this? I've recently discovered that our good friend Mrs. Caldwell is the one who sent the letter to Annette urging her to stay away from me.
Interesting.
Yes, it is. I now plan to devote all my energies to destroying the douchebag.
Ah, but the plot thickens. It appears that Cecile has fallen for her music teacher.
I'm sure Mrs. Caldwell will love that.
Unfortunately, our Don Juan is moving with the speed of a Special Olympic hurdler.
What's your plan of attack?
I rat Cecile out to Mommy. Mommy goes ballistic and ends the relationship. Boo-hoo.
But who will they turn to for help?
Cecile is planning on going away with Court next week. I'll need you to speed up her sexual awakening.
I'm at your service.
Thank you. That feels good.
Oh, sis, you're so tense.
I know. I hate it when things don't go my way. It makes me so horny.
I hate it too.
It's seems like things are looking up for you.
It appears so.
Any luck with your girl?
Moving along quite well.
Have you succeeded in your task?
Any day now.
Well, let me know when you do. Until then.
Oh, come on!
Hello?
Hi, it's Sebastian.
Hi.
I didn't wake you, did I?
No, not at all.
Good. Did I leave my glasses there?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, I guess I'll see you around.
Is that really why you were calling me?
No. I called you because I missed talking to you.
A moment of honesty.
Yeah, well, don't get used to it. I'm not liking it too much.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Well, I'm going out with you. That's...
Catherine is trying on dresses in a posh boutique as Mrs. Caldwell rushes in.
I got your message and came as quick as I could.
I hope I didn't keep you from something.
Not at all. What's wrong?
It's Cecile.
What about her?
Well, you have to promise you won't say anything.
You have my word. It isn't drugs, is it?
It's worse. I think there's something going on between Cecile and her music teacher.
Ronald? That's crazy.
I know. She's so young and he's so...
Black?
Brown sugar. No sugar.
He's been sending her love letters that she hides under her dollhouse. I questioned whether or not to tell you, but something like this could destroy her reputation at Manchester. I hope I did the right thing in telling you. I'd hate to see Cecile ruin things with Court.
No, I can't thank you enough for this.
You will be discreet about this.
Absolutely. Who the hell do you think you are?
Excuse me?
I'm paying you to give cello lessons, not to pervert my child.
Mrs. Caldwell, I think you're misunderstanding something.
You care to explain this, then?
Where did you find those?
Margarita found them while she was cleaning. Now you go to your room.
Now. Mom! Now!
How dare you treat me with such disrespect? I got you off the streets, and this is how you repay me?
Got me off the streets? I live at 59th and Park.
Whatever. Now, you are never to set foot in this house again. And you are never, and I mean never, to see my daughter again. Is that understood?
First of all, I never touched your daughter. And second, I would like to think that in these times, someone of your stature could look beyond racial lines.
Oh, don't give me any of that racist crap. My husband and I gave money to Colin Powell.
I guess that puts me in my place. Thank you for your hospitality, Mrs. Caldwell. It was a true awakening.
Ronald takes the lift to the lobby. The doors open to reveal Sebastian and Catherine both wearing sunglasses. Slowly, Catherine wafts a letter in front of her face. Looking at each other, their sullen expressions turn to broad smiles.
Wow. I never knew she had these types of feelings.
You're a lucky guy.
So, what do I do?
I think you should tell her you love her.
Are you kidding me? Mrs. Caldwell will have me shot if I go anywhere near her. She doesn't have her own phone, and I don't even know her email address.
Ronald, email is for geeks and pedophiles. Be romantic. Write her another letter.
Well, how will I get to her?
We'll make sure she gets it.
Why are you guys doing this for me?
Because
we want to see Cecile happy. And we know that you'd make her happy. You'd make any girl happy.
Sebastian thrusts a pad of paper at him with a hugely false, forced smile.
You guys mind if I have some privacy?
You can use my room. It's right across the hall. Make yourself at home.
At the door, Ronald turns back to her, and she smiles and waves. As the door closes, she raises her eyes in disgust and picks up a telephone.
Who are you calling?
Cecile. What are you doing?
Before we go through with this, I just want to make you aware of the damage we're about to cause.
I'm aware.
Are you really? I mean, we've done some pretty fucked up shit in our time, but this is... We're destroying an innocent girl. You do realize that.
Court Reynolds is going down, and if you won't help me, somebody else will.
You amaze me.
Eat me, Sebastian. It's all right for guys like you in court to fuck everyone, but when I do it, I get dumped for innocent little twits like Cecile. God forbid I exude confidence and enjoy sex. Do you think I relish the fact that I have to act like Mary Sunshine 24/7 so I can be considered a lady? I'm the Marcia fucking Brady of the Upper East Side, and sometimes I want to kill myself. So there's your psychoanalysis, Dr. Freud. Now tell me. Are you in, or are you out?
Call her.
Hello? Cecile, it's Catherine. Okay, stop crying. Stop crying. You know what? Hold on for Sebastian.
Cecile, stop crying. Now, I need you to listen to me very carefully. I have a letter from Ronald. He asked me to give it to you. Now, I can't exactly bring it to your house since your mother despises me, so here's what we're gonna do.
That night, Cecile dresses one of her largest dolls in a yellow T-shirt with Cecile written across the chest and puts a long dark wig over its head before pulling the bedclothes over the doll and standing back to admire her deceit. She pulls the hood of her red jogging top over her head and squeezes her eyes shut in innocent joy. Taking a taxi to Sebastian's apartment, she runs up the steps to the front door. Seeing Sebastian on the balcony, she waves with ungainly teenage excitement and walks inside. Lying on a large double bed, sipping a drink through a curly straw and looking somewhat tipsy, she waves a piece of paper at Sebastian.
Finished. This sure doesn't taste like an iced tea.
It's from Long Island.
He screws up the letter and throws it away.
How's the letter?
It's excellent.
You think he'll like it?
Oh my God, he'll love it. Are you kidding?
What are you doing?
Just taking your photo. You know, you could be a model.
Really?
It's too bad you're not sexy.
I can be sexy.
All right, show me sexy.
With a glint in her eye, she starts to pose on the bed.
Wow, that's very sexy. Why don't you make yourself more comfortable? No. Come here. Now that's sexy. Ooh. Cecile?
What?
You know what would be super duper sexy? If you lost all the clothes.
think so.
I'm sorry, that was out of line.
I think I should go home now.
Okay, I'll just call your mom and have her come pick you up.
My mom?
Mm-hmm.
You can't call my mom.
Oh, wow. She doesn't know you're here. In fact, you're probably grounded. I think I should call her anyway.
No, please. Please, please, I'll do anything. Just don't call my mom.
Cecile, all I want to do is give you a kiss.
Just a kiss?
I swear.
As she pouts, he unties her trousers.
What are you doing?
Cecile, you promised to let me kiss you.
But then why?
I don't want to kiss you here. I want to kiss you there.
Huh?
Promise is a promise, Cecile.
She drops her trousers and Sebastian kneels before her.
Tickles. Oh, Cecile, are you up yet? You're going to be late for the... Cecile?
I need a hug.
Cecile? Yeah? Jesus Christ, where have you been?
Shopping.
Well, hurry up. You're supposed to be at Mrs. Roseland's before brunch. She's very, very important to the school, and I want you to look your best, all right?
Okay.
Okay, go.
Afternoon, ladies.
I didn't know you'd be here.
I wasn't planning on it, but being such a lovely day, why waste it in the city?
Good point.
Anyone for tennis?
Looking directly at Cecile, he suggestively rubs his hand along his tennis racket handle and licks his lips.
Excuse me.
That was rude.
She's very strange.
Oh, what am I going to do?
Is something wrong?
That was Mrs. Collins. They're short of volunteers at the retirement home. But I have theater tickets.
Oh, that's terrible.
I have a thought. Why don't you two fill in for me?
I'd love to.
You two are the best. Thank you. So sweet of you.
Can't help it.
Stabbing. Stabbing.
Isn't he beautiful?
You know, it's so wonderful when the young people come by to help out. Most of our patients, they don't have much family nearby. Here we are, here we are. Mr. Gottlieb, we have a visitor for you. Hi.
No. I've got somebody special for you, baby.
Come on.
Did I ever tell you the time when my late husband
sent
me the...
Yes, you already did, Mrs. Sugarman.
Oh, I did?
Right after we played backgammon, Mrs. Sugarman.
Oh, we played backgammon?
Uh-huh. You beat me 3 times.
I did?
Yep. Then I fucked your daughter.
Excuse me?
I said, would you care for some water?
No, thank you.
Come in.
Hi. How's it going in here?
Oh, we played backgammon. And I won 3 times.
Ooh,
I did.
Ooh, you're going with your bad self.
Isn't it wonderful?
See, I told you she was special.
Oh, my. That was fun.
Mm.
It's weird. I actually feel good about myself. Mrs. Sugarman's cool.
Come on.
What?
Mrs. Sugarman's cool.
She is.
You must think I'm a real idiot.
No, I don't.
You're trying to tell me that you had a good time with that old lady.
I did. We played 3 games of backgammon. All right, I was bored on my mind. I hate doing charity.
It's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
I can't win with you.
It's not about winning, Sebastian. You know what your problem is? You take yourself way too seriously.
I do not.
Yes, you do. You should try to lighten up.
I am lightened. Can we drop this?
Fine.
Suddenly, she looks at him with the evil grin of a wicked pixie, her expression suddenly angular and mischievous, poking her tongue through her teeth.
you doing? Stop it. It's distracting. Cut it out. Stop that.
Are you smiling?
No.
No?
Please stop.
It's okay. You can laugh. I promise I won't tell anybody.
Her face softens as she looks at him, a tenderness creeping into her eyes. Slowly she places her hand over Sebastian's, resting on the gear stick, and entwines her fingers in his. He turns his hand over and grasps hers, turning to look at her with growing affection. Meanwhile, Cecile is slumped on the floor, feeling very sorry for herself.
Who is it? Catherine.
Are you okay?
No!
Looking quickly around, Catherine slides the door shut.
Calm down. Tell me what's wrong.
Something awful happened last night.
What do you mean?
I don't think you want to know.
Cecile, you have to tell me.
It involves your brother. He took advantage of me.
Why didn't you do something?
I don't know.
So let me get this straight. You came over to our house late last night, and he forced intercourse on you.
Not exactly.
He made you give him a blowjob.
No. Ew.
Well, what then?
He took down my pants and he started writing the alphabet, but he was writing it with his tongue.
He went down on you.
If that's what you call it.
Well, did you like it?
No.
No?
Well, I don't know, it was weird. And at first it felt icky, and then it was sort of okay. And then I started getting really hot, and then I started shaking. And then it, I don't know, it was weird. It just felt like an explosion. But a good one.
Cecile? You had an orgasm.
I did.
You're becoming a woman. I'm so proud of you.
I am?
Cecile! Listen. Now that you're on your way, it would be stupid of you to stop. Think of Sebastian as a tutor. Let him instruct you.
But I don't love him. I love Ronald.
So? Don't you want to make Ronald happy? Practice makes perfect, Cecile. My advice is to sleep with as many people as possible.
That would make me a slut. Wouldn't it?
Cecile, everybody does it. It's just that nobody talks about it.
So it's like a secret society.
That's one way of looking at it. Fucking idiot.
Cool. Secret society. Secret society. Catherine. Cecile. Secret.
Cecile lies in Sebastian's bed eating cherries while Sebastian writes in his journal.
Am I supposed to feel this sore?
For the first time, yes. It'll pass.
I like it better when I'm on top.
Cecile? This is what I like to call quiet time. It's the time when we reflect on the things we've just done.
Sorry. Something's the matter?
You think?
Is it me?
No, you were fine.
It's that Annette girl. You love her, don't you? It's okay. I don't love you either. I love Ronald.
I'm getting out of here.
Where are you going?
I'm taking a shower.
Want any company?
No.
Want a blowjob?
Good night, Cecile.
Rude.
At Sebastian's aunt's house, Sebastian stands in an upstairs sunroom watching Annette through binoculars reading under a tree. Catherine approaches him and grabs the binoculars.
Who are you spying on? That her?
Yeah.
Oh no, she's crying. Little baby's upset by the big bad book.
Shut up.
What's up your ass?
Nothing.
She's really getting to you, isn't she?
If you must know, yes. I don't know what to do. I can't stand that holier-than-thou bullshit, yet I'm completely infatuated with her. She made me laugh.
So that's why you're losing our bet?
I'm not losing our bet. It's just taking a little longer than I expected.
Do you mind if I take my new car for a ride?
Catherine, the only thing you're going to be riding is me. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some work to do.
Sebastian walks across the lawn in front of the huge country house, his hands in his pockets, his face typically sullen. Noticing his approach, Annette puts the book down and a broad smile spreads across her face. He kneels before her without taking his hands from his pockets.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Bonjour, monsieur maman.
His gentle greeting grows more passionate, and only when he reaches for her breasts does she push him away.
I'm sorry about that.
I am too.
You know what? I'm not sorry. I don't take it back.
I thought we were just gonna be friends.
I can't handle it. I can't keep my feelings all bottled up like you. Can you honestly tell me that you feel nothing for me?
Yeah, I have feelings for you, Sebastian.
Then what's wrong? It's not like you have a husband, unless you're married to Jesus.
That's not fair.
Why can't we be together?
You really want to know why?
Yes, I want to know why.
It's because I don't trust myself with you.
Sebastian's eyes follow her, but a troubled look flickers across his face. Confused and uncertain, he wanders the grounds, descending a huge stone staircase towards a large ornate pond surrounded by well-tended lawns and roses. His face is clouded with troubled thoughts. That night, Annette brushes her hair before going to bed.
Come in. Hi.
I just came to say goodbye.
Where are you going?
I'm back to the city. I may go to the south of France for the end of the summer. I just can't take your games anymore.
What games?
Oh, come off it. You're hot one minute, you're cold the next. You make me feel inadequate.
Well, I guess if that's how I'm making you feel, then it's best that you're leaving.
Good for you.
Sebastian, I don't want us to part on bad terms.
Well, I'm afraid you don't have a choice in the matter. You're a hypocrite, and I don't associate with hypocrites.
How am I a hypocrite?
Oh, please, Annette, you spend all your time preaching about waiting for love. Well, here it is, right in front of you, and you're going to turn your back on it. So I guess we're just fucked. I'll move on. But you are going to have to spend the rest of your life knowing that you've turned your back on love. And that makes you a hypocrite. Have a nice life.
Wait.
She crosses to him, and leaning softly against him, reaches behind his back to turn the key in the lock. Reaching down to undo the top button on his trousers, she sits on the edge of the bed, her eyes locked with his. A look of lustful uncertainty and innocence plays in her eyes as she watches his face. Sebastian stares at her, his passionate eyes almost pleading. Slowly, as if taking her cue from his lust, she undoes the large buttons on her pajama top, watching him with innocent fear. Sebastian's look of passionate pleading slowly changes. He battles with himself, suddenly aware of his real feelings.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Suddenly aware of her vulnerability, Annette bursts into silent, shameful tears. Angrily, Sebastian pulls a sliding door shut behind him and catches sight of himself in a mirror.
Get it together, you pussy.
In the morning, Annette leaves the house carrying her luggage to a long black limousine. In his bedroom, Sebastian lies on his back, fast asleep, his journal open on his lap. Catherine enters quietly and reaches for the book.
Morning.
Morning.
So, how'd it go last night?
With who?
Well, I know how it went with Cecile. She won't shut up about it.
If you're asking if I nailed her, the answer is no.
She shot you down?
Exactly the opposite.
So what went wrong?
I don't know. She was lying on the bed, ready to do it, but I just didn't feel right about it.
You're telling me you had the chance to fuck her and you didn't? God, are you a chump. Ooh. Oh, if you're heading towards her room, you won't find her.
Where is she?
You don't know? She left 30 minutes ago.
Where did she go?
She apologized to your aunt and told her she was going to stay with some friends. You blew it, Sebastian. That girl's come to her senses, and she'll never go near you again.
Stupid. Judy, I'll say that.
Hello?
Greg, it's Valmont.
Hey, buddy.
Is she with you?
No.
Where is she?
I don't know. Look, why don't you just leave her alone?
Where is she?
Okay, all right? All right, she's with her friend's parents, the Mahalics. She just caught a train in the Penn Station about 20 minutes ago.
Thank you.
No problem.
I am color blind. Coffee black and egg white. Pull me out from inside. I am ready, I am ready, I am ready, I am.
Getting off her subway train, Annette takes the escalator to the main concourse. As the escalator rises, she looks up to Sebastian standing at the top watching her. Trying not to look at him, she walks towards him, her pouting uncertainty suddenly replaced with innocent joy.
I'm impressed.
Well, I'm in love.
Pull me out from inside.
Gently pulling her towards him, they kiss.
I am ready. I am ready, I am ready, I am fine.
In his room, Annette and Sebastian move in tune with each other's naked bodies, glistening with passion, their lovemaking tenderly abandoned.
I am covered in skin. No one gets to come.
Are you okay?
Out from inside.
From the balcony above the main door to their apartment, Catherine watches Sebastian kiss Annette goodbye and let her into a limousine. Her face is clouded with thundering anger. In the morning, Sebastian walks up to his apartment, a relaxed, almost happy expression on his face as he runs his hand along the railings. In his left hand, he carries a bunch of flowers. Walking up to the doorman, he adjusts the man's tie, and the doorman laughs in surprise at Sebastian's good humor. In the apartment, he walks over the furniture in a straight line to his study door.
Bad time?
Kind of.
Well, you obviously wanted me to witness your little adventure, or else you wouldn't have invited me in. Who is our friend who gives you such pleasure? Where could he be?
He pulls open a drawer at the foot of the bed.
Hi.
Ronald, dressed only in his underpants, grabs his clothes and rushes for the door.
Fucked up shit in this house.
Call me. You don't get to have all the fun. So I assume you've come here to make arrangements.
Some other time.
Excuse me?
I'm not in the mood.
I want to fuck.
And I don't.
Good afternoon, Catherine.
Sounds great. I love you too.
I love you too. My God. You're completely pussy whipped.
Stop it.
What happened to us?
Nothing has changed.
Yes, it has. You're in love with her. You don't love me anymore.
Oh, come on, Catherine. It's just a bet. This is ridiculous.
What's ridiculous, dear brother, is you. Look at yourself. Look what you've been reduced to. Have you given any thought to what's going to happen when school starts? Not only are you dating Miss 17 Magazine, but she's also the new headmaster's daughter. Before you know it, you'll be giving campus tours with her. Oh, wait. Her father doesn't know about your past, does he? I doubt he'd let his little princess be seen with the likes of you. It's so disappointing to see Annette's manifesto was a total sham. You know, as student body president, I feel it's my sworn duty to tell him.
Put the phone down.
Shh, it's only take a second. Quite the predicament you're in.
I don't care what you say. The fact of the matter is, I was planning on telling her everything this afternoon.
No, that's right. I forgot. You're so in love. Do you honestly believe that you've done a complete 180 in the few days you've known her? Well, let me tell you something. People don't change overnight. You and I are two of a kind. At least I have the guts to admit it. You are going to leave school a legend. Now you're going to leave a joke.
I'm willing to take my chances.
Don't do it, Sebastian. You'll not only ruin your reputation, you'll destroy hers.
Sebastian stares at his half-sister, defeated and lost, before turning away and walking out. Catherine sits behind his glass-topped desk, her sense of victory made bitter by his refusal to comply to her wishes. As if in a daze, he walks the busy streets of New York. People stare at him as they pass or watch from cafes as his single-minded stride causes people to avoid him. He suddenly snaps out of his reverie on seeing a young couple walk past him, but his melancholic anger returns just as quickly. Returning to his bedroom in the apartment, he flops down across the bed. Lost in a world of sorrowful realization, he lies back staring at the ceiling. Beside him lies his ever-present journal tied shut. He reaches for it and clutches it to his chest. Parking his car outside a large apartment block, he nods to a red liveried doorman and enters.
Hi.
Hi.
And this is my room. Do you think we can be quiet?
There's something I have to tell you.
Tell me.
This isn't working out for me anymore.
Yeah, me neither. What's wrong?
It's not you, it's me. I'm completely fucked up.
What are you saying?
I thought I was in love with you, but it was just a lie. I wanted it to work, but unfortunately, I feel nothing.
Why are you doing this?
I just wanted to see what you were like in bed.
No, you don't mean that.
You know nothing. You don't even know me. The fact of the matter is, there is someone I love. You don't even compare to her. I don't know how to make this any clearer to you. You mean nothing to me. You were just a conquest.
You're such a coward. Look at yourself. You're shaking. Is that what you came to tell me?
I'm sorry. I'm completely...
Yeah, you're completely fucked up.
With sobs, she buries her face in her hands. Catherine steps out of a black limousine in front of her apartment and hands a small package to the doorman, who opens the car door for her while she takes off her coat. Looping the coat over one long slender arm, she takes the package and enters the apartment, her short skirt and figure-hugging blouse shimmering around her body. In the apartment, she opens the door to her darkened bedroom and suddenly notices Sebastian sitting in a corner wearing sunglasses, a brooding melancholy weighing heavily on him. Beside him is an ice bucket containing a bottle of champagne.
A little melodramatic, don't you think?
I thought you'd like to know what happened between Annette and I. It's over.
Really?
You were right. I can't change. You and I are two of a kind. I thought we should celebrate.
I'd love to. But unfortunately, I'm expecting some company.
Who? Ronald?
Not that it's any of your business, but yes.
From Ronald. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm pretty sure it goes something like, yada, 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 you mean a lot to me, hope we can still be friends, etc., etc., etc. You see, I expected your sort of bullshit, so I took the liberty of arranging a little get-together between Ronald and Cecile. You were right. You do get dumped for the innocent little twits.
Well done.
Thank you.
Now, where were we? Oh, yes, the celebration. What shall we toast to?
To my triumph.
It's not my choice to toast, but it's your call. To your triumph over Annette. What's so funny?
Silly rabbit. My triumph isn't over her. It's over you.
Come again?
You were very much in love with her. And you're still in love with her. But it amused me to make you ashamed of it. You gave up on the first person you ever loved because I threatened your reputation. Don't you get it? You're just a toy, Sebastian. A little toy I like to play with. And now you've completely blown it with her. I think it's the saddest thing I've ever heard. Cheers. So I assume you've come here to make some arrangements. But unfortunately, I don't fuck losers. Goodbye, Sebastian.
It's imperative that I talk to her.
I don't know what to tell you. She's not here.
Could you please tell her I called?
Of course I will.
Slamming the handset into its cradle, he throws himself into the chair behind his desk, frantically trying to control his anger. As he looks over the desk, his eye falls on his journal. Snatching it up, he tugs the tie free and opens it to his last entry. With a parcel wrapped in brown paper, Sebastian strolls along the lamplit boulevard outside Annette's new apartment. With determined steps, he crosses the road, tears drying on his cheeks. He marches to the door of her apartment and paces outside in frustration.
May I help you?
Yes, I need to speak with Annette.
She's not here. Listen, I'm entertaining some guests.
Annette! Annette!
I already told you she is not here.
Please see that she gets this.
I'll do that.
It's really important.
I understand. Good night. I'm terribly, terribly sorry about that. You just never know who's going to show up at my door.
Annette stands behind the kitchen door, her cheeks wet with tears. Later, Annette picks up the letter on top of the package at the foot of her bed. Nervously, she opens the envelope and sits.
Dear Annette, I don't know what I can possibly say to rectify the harm I've caused you. The truth of the matter is, being with you was the only time I have ever been happy. My whole life has been a joke. I prided myself on taking joy in others' misery. Well, it finally backfired. I succeeded in hurting the first person I loved. Enclosed is my most prized possession, my journal. For a long time, I considered it my trophy, a sordid collection of my conquests. If you really want to know the truth, then please read it. No more lies.
She opens the journal to a picture of Catherine, around which are the words liar, deceitful, promiscuous. Turning the next page, another picture of Catherine has the title I Am a Bitch. Opposite is a picture of Annette from the teen magazine, above which is the heading The Bet.
Please give me another chance. I'm a wreck without you.
Standing in the lamplit, rain-wet street, Sebastian watches Annette framed in her bedroom window, her eyes held by the journal in her hands. The author crosses from the cover of the trees along the boulevard to a wet stone wall and leans back, watching her window. Ronald is asleep in his bed.
Hello?
Ronald?
Yeah?
It's Catherine.
What's up? Is everything okay?
No. It's Sebastian. He's out of his mind.
What do you mean?
He hit me, and then he took off. I'm just afraid to be alone, please. Ronald, I really need you.
Okay, can you just settle down?
There's more. It involves Cecile.
Stay there. I'll be right over.
Ronald replaces the receiver and rolls over to kiss the sleeping figure beside him. As he gets up, a hand rubs the spot he kissed as Cecile continues sleeping. In her room, Catherine stretches in luxurious triumph. In the lonely light of morning, New York's spires and skyscrapers reach into the hazy sky as the city's businesses open their doors to the bustle of rush hour. Sebastian rises from his vantage point on a rock overlooking Annette's apartment and jumps down to the boulevard. Without looking up, he walks away as Annette's head appears at the window searching the street. Ronald storms out of Catherine's apartment, violence in his eyes. Sebastian turns the corner of the boulevard, rubbing his head sleepily. He seems calmer and more composed. Ronald walks angrily through Central Park as Annette crosses the road to the corner, looking desperately around. Sebastian walks lazily along the cycle path between runners and cyclists as Ronald strides purposefully along the boulevard. Annette follows the route that Sebastian took, and all three close unwittingly on each other.
Son of a bitch.
Come on!
Hey, Ronald.
Seems that you and I have some talking to do.
Oh, can we do it later? I've had a really bad night. What's your problem?
Where the hell do you come off hitting Catherine?
Oh, Christ, she got to you, too.
She told me everything.
Ronald, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
She also told me you fucked Cecile. It's true, isn't it?
Ronald, I'm sorry.
Jumping on Ronald's back as they fight on the floor, Annette is thrown into the street. She looks up dazed as a taxi races towards her.
Shit.
Sebastian leaps out and pushes her to safety, but the taxi cannot stop.
As the new headmaster of Manchester Prep, it saddens me to start our new school year off with such a mournful tone.
In the ladies' toilets at school, Catherine opens her crucifix and raises the tiny scoop of white powder to her nose. Inhaling deeply, she wipes the traces away and seals the crucifix before splashing her face with cold water.
Anyone else was in here?
I'm sorry. I'm Annette Hargrove.
Catherine Rotelli.
Have we met?
I don't think so. Your father's the new headmaster at Manchester, right?
That's right. I was sorry to hear about your brother. Are you okay?
I'll be fine. Did you know Sebastian?
I might say that.
Such a tragedy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'll leave you alone now. Are you sure you're gonna be okay? I'm here if you need a friend.
That's great.
I know it sounds really trite, but sometimes when I feel I can't go on, I turn to Jesus and he helps me through it.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll see you around campus.
Looking forward to it. Freak. Here we go. However dark the cloud, there's always a silver lining. It might be hard to see, but what we should learn from this experience is to be true to ourselves and to resist the temptations of peer pressure. As student body president, I've tried to set an example in myself. Unfortunately, the one person I could not reach out to in time was my stepbrother, Sebastian. I know he's looking down on us today, and... I know he's looking down on us today, and he'd want me to say... He'd want me to say, Catherine... He'd want me to say, Catherine, I'm sorry. What is going on? Don't you people have any respect?
Many of the students suddenly stand up and rush out of the service. Catherine's anger is tinged with doubt and fear as she rushes from the lectern and strides down the aisle. The congregation stare at her in shock as she rushes outside. She stares at the crowd of students outside the chapel. All of them are reading photocopied sheets. Cecile pushes through a small group carrying a pile of bound papers and thrusts a document at Catherine. The title reads, Cruel Intentions, The Journal of Sebastian Valmont. Looking through the pages on Cecile and Annette, she stares at the title, Benedict Bitch, Catherine's Backstabbing World of Friendship. In utter disbelief, she flicks back to the first page where the picture of her opens the book. Above the word deceitful stands the phrase, Coke Problem. On the opposite page is a drawing of her crucifix and chain. As she reads, her lips start to quiver and a tear forms in her right eye, rolling thickly down her cheek. She looks slowly up from the journal into the hate and shame-filled eyes of her fellow students. Looking straight at a senior, the tall, short-haired man stares back at her, shaking his head while the girl beside him locks her gaze with growing venom. Catherine searches the faces around her, desperately looking for support. Behind her, the teaching staff appears at the chapel doorway, led by the new headmaster. He stands beside her and grabs the crucifix dangling from her wrist. Pulling it open, cocaine spills out, and Catherine looks up into his sad, kind face, beseeching him with her eyes unable to speak, her cheeks wet with shame. He simply shakes his head. She is utterly alone. Driving the Jaguar Roadster, the wind whipping her blonde hair around her face, Annette remembers Sebastian, his sad face as she rode the escalator at Penn Station and their passionate kiss amongst the travellers. Picking up his sunglasses from the seat beside her, she puts them on. A smile flickers at the corners of her mouth as she remembers the first time she made him laugh. Recalling her hand moving gently over his on the gear stick as they drove away from the old people's home, her smile becomes sad. Beside her in the passenger seat lies his journal, an ever-present reminder of the life and ultimate salvation of a man ruled by desire, reputation, and cruel intentions. The end.